Mm.
In lieu of President Raptor's absence, I would nominate Matthew Hurst to conduct the meeting today.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, August 5th, 2025 Village Board meeting. Roll call. Trustee Gunner.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Rafter is excused. Trustee Harris here. Trustee Marsh.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Trustee Leiterman is excused. Item number two, modify adopt agenda. I'd like to make a quick change. We will get rid of item number five on the posted agenda for tonight, please. So if we could have a motion to adopt a modified agenda.
I'll move to move up item number seven to right after public comment.
I'd move to approve the change to item number five.
So you want, Trustee Gunrick, you want to move seven above?
Correct.
Oh, okay. I didn't think six would take long.
Whatever works.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Then let's just have a modified agenda eliminating item number five.
So
okay.
Move.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? We have a modified agenda. Announcements. Music in the park. On Thursday, August 14th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Green Isle Park, we'll have the second instance of Music in the Park. Big Scuba Duo will be there, as well as Minzo's Kitchen. Item B, Movie in a Park. Following up from the July showing of Encanto, on Friday, August 15th, at Voyager Park, continuing the collaboration between Alloway and our neighbors to the south, Tapir. Luca will be shown beginning at dusk, approximately 9 p.m. Item C. Trustee Rafter should be doing this one. Pickleball Tournament. On October 4th at 9 a.m., there will be a pickleball tournament entitled Pickleball. Information is available on the village website for more details if you're interested, but it would take place on October 4th. Item 3D, hiring of Josh Wood, equipment operator from the street department. Sean, since you're barely on the agenda tonight, do you want to take this one?
Sure. We're pleased to announce the hiring of Josh Wood. Josh is from Washington State, recently just moved to Green Bay. He has over 20 years of experience operating logging trucks and landloaders. Josh's first day with the Village of Alloway was last week Monday, and we're excited to have him a part of our team.
Perfect. Thank you. Welcome him, and hope he's around for a long time. Item number four, public comment. Unless there's any other announcements from staff or my fellow trustees. Okay. Then moving on to item number four, public comment. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to bring up a topic for public comment, please?
I'm going to come up.
Okay. Come on,
Becky. I probably should have gotten this onto the announcements on the agenda, but I didn't get it in.
Can we get your, before you get started, Becky,
name
and address, please.
My name is Becky Nyberg, and I live in Alloway at 214 Seminette, but I also work for the Village of Alloway. And I am the one that's organizing Good Neighbor Week. Last year, we kind of piggybacked on Green Bay's Good Neighbor Week, and we did one house in Alloway. because they applied because so many people who live in Alloway think they live in Green Bay, and they applied even though it was a Green Bay thing, and we helped them. And it was so rewarding and so much fun that we decided to have our own Alloway week, and it's going to be in 3 weeks. I've sent out over the social media and stuff, we're looking for volunteers, and I just wanted to personally invite the board members to come and volunteer with us, one shift, if you want to come and just help. We are going to help fix up 5 homes, and we are going to, well, here, I gave one to you, and I need one more here. One of the homes is going to be probably done on a different day, so we are going to be doing Monday.
I just gave them.
You gave them. We are going to have a house on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of this week. And most of it, it's all outside work. It's yard work, staining a deck, helping people who couldn't afford to otherwise. We want to see people improve their homes in Alloway, and working as a in code enforcement, I'm finding an awful lot of people that I'm talking to, and they're saying, "I want to do it. I'm on a fixed income. I can't afford to do it." Or they're buying a home and spending every penny they have to buy the home, and then they either don't have the money or don't have the knowledge. Dr. Google can only help you so far in your home, but a good friend can help better to explain how to do maintenance and all those kind of things. So we would really appreciate the help. We have a sign up, and we can let you know the address if you sign up for a day. We're going to start at 8 in the morning, and most of the homes, the homeowners are providing lunch. If not, we'll have some sub sandwiches, and we will go until 4 o'clock or until the work is done. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew about it and that you were invited to come.
And that's the week of August 25th.
Right.
Okay.
Green Bay, we decided because of the NeighborWorks is in Green Bay is helping to coordinate it. Green Bay is having a Good Neighbor Week in September, but we decided to break out Alloway's week at a separate time just because then he is sitting there. He's one of the volunteers, and he's going to also be doing Green Bay's week. And so to stretch out, and we're going to have some people from Green Bay helping us, and then we also have an opportunity for Alloway residents to help people in Green Bay. Green Bay is going to do 10 homes. And at the same time, they're also doing the Rock the Block for Habitat for Humanity, but this is a separate thing that's a little smaller, like I said, staining a deck, painting a house, fixing the outside, maybe fixing a railing, doing things that people need. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to make a comment? Hearing none, we'll close public comment. Move on to old item number 6, consent agenda. If there are no objections, I'll take items A, B, and C as one motion.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
A second.
Second.
Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 7, report regarding the chlorine leak incident.
Thank you. Due to the seriousness of what took place on May 5th, as all you should be aware of, we had a chlorine leak at our Van Nuys pump station. It was because of quick reaction by water operator, water foreman, and the fire department that we had no serious injuries. We're very fortunate that nobody got injured. When the leak occurred, we did have a water operator in the chlorine room. He acted quickly. He got out. He called Josh, water foreman, with us tonight. Josh then called 911. I was off. Let Jim, the building administrator, know right away. The fire department arrived to the scene within minutes. They quickly secured the site and contained the leak. Because of the seriousness of what had taken place, I felt it was necessary to put together a formal report to provide you with information on what happened, why, and then what we're going to do in the future to prevent this from happening again. I had Josh go through the report, and then at the completion of that, allow the fire department to provide you a brief report on how they reacted.
Thank you.
Josh Ritchie, Water Department Foreman. So on the 5th of May 2025, Central County Water, as you may know, the Central County Water Authority supplies water to the village of Alloway.
Josh, can you move the microphone a little closer to you?
Sure, yeah.
Thank you.
Is that better?
I think so.
Okay. Lake Michigan is a source of our drinking water. It's treated and chlorinated and pumped by the Manitowoc Public Utilities. And then on a seasonal basis, in spring and fall, the lake goes through something called turnover. At those times, typically, we may have to boost the chlorine to keep the residual chlorines in the far reaches of our distribution system. So the way our system is set up, if our chlorine reaches 0.65 milligrams per liter, our boosters automatically would kick in to boost that level up until it reaches 0.75 milligrams per liter, and then it would automatically shut off. So a little summary of what happened on the 5th of May 2025 at 10:49 a.m. A chlorine leak began in the chlorine room at AZ2 Water Connection Station at 141 Vanda High Road. The water department operator was present in the room at the time of the leak. Once the operator evacuated the room, 911 was contacted. Green Bay Metro Fire Department hazmat team was deployed to the scene to contain the situation. Timeline of events to follow. So pre-incident, the residual chlorine of the incoming water from Central Brown County Water Authority dropped below the 0.65 milligrams per liter around 1 a.m. on the 5th, which prompted the chlorine boosters to activate. The water department operator arrived at the scene on the AZ2 connection station around 7:15 a.m., doing his normal rounds. Upon arrival, he noticed that the booster pumps were running for the chlorine system, but it was not pumping chlorine. Upon investigation, the operator noticed that the manually operated valves on top of the chlorine system were in the closed position. The operator manually turned the valve on the tanks to the open position for a turn, and then the system began to pump as expected. The pre-chlorine level reached 0.75 milligrams per liter around 8:05 a.m. and automatically turned off the booster system. The operator returned to AZ2 to investigate a slight chlorine smell around 10:30 a.m. The operator began to investigate the leak using a bottle of ammonia. How that works is if you are looking for a chlorine leak, use a little bit of ammonia, puffing it around the area, and that will turn into a little cloud, which appears to be a cloud of smoke chemical reaction, to visually see where the leak is coming from. So a leak was detected around the connection point between what's called the Regal Automatic Switch Over Gas Chlorinator and the chlorine gas cylinder valve on top of the tank. The operator turned to grab a wrench that was located on the windowsill behind him to manually turn off the tank. At this time, the chlorinator disconnected from the cylinder, beginning the leak in the chlorine room. The operator immediately left the room and called me, the water utility foreman. Now we're in the timeline of the leak here. So at 10:49, the operator calls the water utility foreman to inform the chlorine leak. The foreman sends another operator to site and to prepare the emergency response. At 10:55, the water utility foreman calls 911. One correction to the report that you received, it was actually at 11:10 a.m. Emergency response team arrived on site at 141 Vanda High Road and began setting a perimeter of the area. By 11:35 a.m., Green Bay Metro Hazmat team had contained the leak and began monitoring the area. And at 12:10 p.m., the operator that was in the room at the time was transported via ambulance, which was a non-emergency, to Aurora Baker Medical Center for further evaluation. At 2 p.m., the operator was released from the medical center. So post-incident investigation, looking into what caused it, it was discovered that two lead seals were present at the connection point between the chlorinator and the chlorine cylinder valve. It's believed this caused the insufficient connection between the regulator and the chlorine cylinder, which ultimately caused the leak. So every time a chlorinator is removed, every time the tank is changed and that chlorinator is removed, that lead seal that is present there needs to be taken out and replaced. Chlorine cylinder installation instructions are posted on the wall of the chlorine room. A copy was provided there. And also on the valve, instructions for removal and replacement of the lead seal are present at that point as well. So regulatory reporting, we reported to the EPA and DNR of the situation. And just another note that the last chlorine tank exchange was January of 2024. So that is the report that we put together. I don't know if we want to turn this over to the Bay Metro Fire Department to add anything or review their report.
Hello, everybody. I'm Dave Delman. I was one of Asmentech's that was on scene initially. So like the timeline says, once the dispatch happened, we're aware of the leak that really kicks into place our hazmat response. So that comes from different parts of town. When we arrived, it was nice that there was a village representative there, so we got initial notification that there was nobody in the building with the leak present. Obviously, that changes things, right, for the better. So then the town chief gets there, and because the active leak is still going on and the winds were more kind of like south, then what we want to do is we got them hoses that were facing the building into we call it shelter in place. So we knocked on doors, those are home, turn off all your HVAC, that keeps anything from migrating into the house. So that happened. That's that that securing mechanism that we do initially. While that was going on, the engine arrives. We bring the engineer for a decon purpose in case somebody needs to get deconned because of the chlorine gas. The hazmat rig gets there, and then we do a quick action plan on what we're going to do. In this case, the bottle just needed to get shut off. So that really kind of narrows our scope of practice down, or scope of work, if you will, and knowing that there was nobody in there. So some of our newer suits we can don quicker, which gets us there quicker. So with our, really our scope of work being real small, meaning we just needed to get our gear on with air packs and literally go in the room and turn the bottle off, that would happen pretty quickly, as you can tell. So really we suited two guys. Here's our plan, and there's a backup plan, and there's decon. So once we got suited up from curb to in the room and back, it was about 2 minutes. So, but there was enough chlorine in the room that was still level A. So it was good that the employee got himself out because that was a pretty hazardous atmosphere. So that's really in a nutshell and what all happened. So then after that, it was just decon.
What's decon?
So, yeah, doing hazmat talk, right? So it's decontamination of anybody that was in the atmosphere. So even though we're in suits, we got to decon the suits. So we decontaminate them. In that case, we're just blowers. We're trying to blow the gas off the suits. Yep, good question. And then eventually the employee come back and he was transported, which is good just because of the corrosiveness behind the gas. So that all went really, really smooth. Yeah. So kudos to the village for being there right away, because that really kind of sets our game plan in motion really upon objective information versus subjective. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah. I'll ask a question. Some of the neighbors were in the line that the wind was blowing were evacuated. This is not an industrial size chlorine tank.
Correct.
Do you reach a threshold where it's mandatory or smart to have some kind of sensor and warning for chlorine leaks?
That'll come back to regulation requirements. And anybody familiar with that? That's really regulation requirements there on whether it should be monitored.
Outside of the room, no, we don't currently monitor there.
But it's a modest size chlorine, and I don't know enough about it, but it's obviously dangerous.
It was a 100-gallon tank that leaked.
See, I don't have a sense for what kind of danger that poses. You know, obviously it's in a contained room, but I wonder, is it the type of thing where if the operator hadn't been there and it had leaked and it hadn't been discovered for a while, would that have posed any kind of danger to, you know, just the immediate area, either in the building or a little bit outside the building, or might that have been a danger at that size if we've got a 100-gallon tank?
The chlorine room is equipped with sensors and an alarm that goes off if there is a leak.
Okay.
So if no one was present, someone would have been alarmed via our SCADA system or an audible alarm outside.
Yeah, that's kind of what I suspected. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I just have a couple things to add. My name is Tony Piontek. I'm a battalion chief of the Green Bay Fire Department. So I just want to say, just so you know, I'm kind of giving a kudos to these guys, because not always does this happen. Okay, so we're typically not invited back for an after action report. We're not involved with the process, and we're not told what happens after this. So I just want to let you guys know that you have some pretty outstanding people sitting over here doing what they're supposed to do. The actions that were in place before the event, and now the actions that are being even added to after the event, are where we would like to see things go. So they're doing absolutely the right thing, and we're just glad that everything has turned out the way that it did and that we could help you. But I just wanted to let you know, on our behalf, you have some pretty good people here. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why we're here.
We appreciate you guys.
Reinforces what we already know.
Yeah. I figured you did. If you have any questions of me, I wasn't there. This is my ship, so I know that it happened, but other than that, I was on vacation, fortunately, that day. So, but thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And if you don't mind, afterwards, you don't need us anymore, we'll excuse ourselves from the rest of the meeting, if that's okay.
Any other questions?
I have a question, but it's probably for Josh or Sean. And that is, with the employee, is there any other follow-up that the employee needed or needs to go through other than having been checked out at the time of the incident?
We were fortunate there were no injuries sustained.
So there's nothing more that has to be
done? Nothing more.
Good.
I will add, we've since looked at our protocol or procedure in the chlorine room. We don't find it faulty, but we know that we can make improvements to the way that we enter that room. There are improvements that we can make to our standard operating procedures as well. One area of improvement will be more frequent training, annual training. With the turnovers of staff, it has to be done at the very minimum once a year, if not twice. To that point, we have training coming up end of this month, collective effort within the Central Brown County Water Authority. All of the Central Brown County Water Authority members are going to meet morning, afternoon to go through some training.
That's really good. I know that it's not always something that people want to do, is train on something that they believe they already know and they do routinely, but I really appreciate both of you taking this real seriously and really emphasizing the safety, and training is kind of the foundation that we have to start with when we talk about safety. And it's usually those routine things you do every day that somehow something, you know, you kind of lose some of the, because you think you know it. And so training on things you already know and things you need to know is very appropriate. So I commend you for doing that.
I'll ask one more question. I'm not a member of the Public Works Committee or anything like that, but the SCADA system is not only chlorine leaks or chemical, it's if there were water pressure loss or service interruption of some type, does that trigger a text or an email, or do you have to have somebody with the ability to monitor that 24/7?
It is 24/7 not monitoring necessarily, but we do have an on-call person, and it does dial out should there be an alarm for anything water-related. Our sanitary sewer lift stations, water pressures, chlorine room, anything that's connected to it, if an alarm is activated, they would get a call, and they have a we have a tablet that we take home where we can get a live view and assess the situation and come in if necessary.
Well, thank you. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Move on to item number 8, report on water service line inventory and lead service line replacement.
We want to give you a brief update on our water service line inventory and replacement of lead services. October of last year, we had provided a presentation to the village board on the water service line inventory. We put together a PowerPoint presentation this morning. We'll go through that, Josh and myself. Water service line history. Lead services were commonly used at Alloway between 1930s and 1940s. Start of World War II, lead was phased out, and plumbers were more apt to use copper than lead. Throughout the years, there have been a number of EPA mandated rules. Most recently was the 2021 lead copper rule revision that required public water systems to put together an initial inventory of utility and privately owned water service lines. We had fulfilled that step. October of last year was a major effort that took a couple of years and a lot of staff time and the help from consultants to put together. After the inventory was submitted, and the DNR came out with another rule, a lead copper rule improvement that allows public water systems more time to finalize and to complete the inventory and to remove the lead. We have 10 years to complete the inventory and remove lead services and or galvanized downstream of lead. And it's a little murky on when that starts. I believe that 10-year period starts in 2027. We still haven't really gotten a clear answer on that. But we're well on our way of meeting the requirements. As indicated in October of last year, we put together an inventory, a water service line inventory, material, size, age. The address was used as an identifier for that property. That water service line inventory was submitted to the DNR October of last year. In the presentation that we provided, we show the ownership of water service line. Utility owns the service from the water main to the curb stop, just through the curb stop, and the customer owns the water service line from the curb stop to the home. The outcome of the inventory, and we had learned that we have a lot of unknown privately owned services, and that's because of lack of records. We don't have the greatest records for private property, but we do for the utility. To our knowledge, we only have 19 unknowns on the utility side. Josh will talk about what we've done since. Josh.
Yeah, so initially we had about 2,800 or so unknown private side services that we just didn't have records of, we weren't able to identify. So what we wanted to do was, in a timely manner, identify those. We set a plan to, by the end of 2030, have them all identified, which would involve getting into roughly 500 homes per year. We divided the village up into sections from north to south, working north to south, with the knowledge that most of the lead services that we know of, the majority of them are in the north side of town. So working that direction, method of identification, we set an appointment, we go inside the home, we look at the pipe material that's coming up through the floor before the meter, or through the wall at the point of entry. identify that and note it in our system and then update our records. There's also cross-connection inspections that are going on through a contractor that we hire, HydroCorp, and they get into roughly 300 homes per year. They're working one section ahead of us, and they're also identifying. So that really leaves our 500 homes a year goal. That leaves 200 really up to us in the water utility and 300 on our contracted service that goes well.
You want to talk about the next sheet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Lead and galvanized services.
So of lead and galvanized services, the whole material that drove this effort by the EPA and DNR and by utilities, we know of 65 locations within the village that have lead services. Of those, 49 are utility-owned services and 18 are private side lead. Now, also material of concern is galvanized services that have ever been downstream of lead. So of the 35 known galvanized services in the village, we know of 8 that have been downstream of lead or are currently downstream of lead, which would also need to be replaced.
So once we had put together the inventory, we started to develop a plan on how to remove the remaining lead services. And I will say that since I've started, and before my time, the Public Works Director has made it a priority to remove lead on an annual basis. We do that through the utility. Through the utility budget, under contracted services, we take on anywhere from 6 to 12 services a year. With the number of lead services known in the village, I've laid out a plan. A 5-year plan to remove lead by 2030. This year we've already removed 6. Similar to past efforts, we're doing the same this year. We have an annual replacement. We've removed 6, and we're working on another smaller project to remove another 6 to 10 this year. We'll do the same in 2026. We'll budget accordingly. 2027, as a street reconstruct year, we're currently working on extending our 5-year capital improvement plan. In 2027, a reconstruct project will be focused on those streets with a high number of lead services. We've already kind of put together a list of streets that we want to remove and replace or reconstruct in 2027. If we proceed with that plan under that reconstruct project, we'll remove 25 lead services. At that same time, we'll remove another 8 to 10 lead services under our annual replacement program. 2028, we'll have another annual replacement program. And then again in 2029, and I think the end of 2029 or early in 2030, we'll have all of the lead removed. We do have, I would say, about a half dozen streets that have a high concentration of lead services, 5 of which we're going to tackle in 2027, the other street being Webster Avenue. There are, roughly speaking, 20 lead services along Webster Avenue, north of 172 to about at Alloway Avenue, and those are a little bit more of a challenge to replace. And you're looking at the plan, you'll see why the cost gradually gets more expensive, because those are going to be a little bit more expensive to remove and replace. This is our plan right now. I think it's a reasonable one. If you would like to see this plan expedited, we can do that. We're bringing this information to you tonight ahead of the budgeting of this year, so that if need be, we can make some adjustments. On the last sheet, we want to bring that up. Sent an email, but it wasn't in the packet. I apologize. I had sent out this presentation to you all this afternoon. At the end of the presentation is a map that shows the location of the lead services. We can bring it up real quick.
Sean, while he's doing that, you said we've got 5,000 to approximately 5,000 to identify or to investigate over a 10-year period, 500 per year, 300 we're outsourcing, 200 would be handled in-house. So far in 2025, and that's for a week, so far for 2025, are we on pace for those 200?
Yeah, our goal was 500 a year.
Right. The 300 for that outside company, and we have to handle 200. So are we on pace with our portion?
I think we're ahead, but go ahead, Judge.
Okay.
We are ahead. I haven't incorporated. I haven't gotten results from Hydrocoria on what they found, but we are currently sitting at about 2,300 unknowns from 2,800, a little over 2,800 roughly. Some of that came into deeper diving, a little more time deeper diving into records. We also sent out notifications to residents and which prompted them to make appointments without us, calling or sending anything in addition to them. We sent mailers to everyone in that section set for 2025 in the north end of town. We got a good number of appointments out of that, so we are making good progress.
Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Trevor was able to bring up the map. On the left, we're showing the location of the 65 known lead services. On the map to the right, we're showing the location of the privately owned lead services. There are 19 that we're aware of. So that just it provides a little graphic for you on where they're located. You can see that there's a clump located in Long Webster between Green Avenue and Alloway. 2027, proposing to reconstruct Lazar from Riverside Drive to Ducharme, Whitney from Ducharme to Webster, and Woodrow and Jourdain located east of Webster, just north of Whitney's Mission, and there are a number of private services located beyond the street curb and gutter, and we'll have to work with those property owners to remove and replace those services.
Thank you. Any questions for Sean and Josh?
Yeah, refresh my memory. I mean, that's my neighborhood, and I think I had a neighbor ask me about it once, and they were starting to get freaked out, and they started talking about Flint, Michigan, and I said, totally different. Our water, even with you do have a lead service, because of the water chemistry, or maybe it's an additive in our water, and I don't want to be cavalier about it, but as far as the danger of lead leaching, even if you do have these old pipes, our water quality is still probably pretty good.
It is. Do you want to talk about the phosphate that we had and testing that we've done recently?
So we add a phosphate blend to the water, in particular, including that is an orthophosphate, which prevents the leaching of lead into water. Because of that, and because we don't have any mainline lead in our system, every 3 years, the DNR requires us to sample for lead, trying to focus on areas where our residents, where we know, have lead services. And we do that, and we have never hit above the 15 parts per billion threshold that they have set. So it is, you know, the goal of the EPA is no lead in the water is accepted as safe, but setting the standard where it is, we are staying below that because of this additive.
When the work is complete, will we need to discontinue the additive?
Yeah, that's something we'll have to look into. I know we do a phosphate blend, so there's other benefits to it. But yeah, we'll definitely review that and see if it makes sense to remove it or you know reduce the blend.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I knew. Well, there's a and I maybe I said 5 year, but if it's a 5 or 10 year plan, well, sure we do it right away. And I said, well, in the meantime, the water chemistry is such, I don't know if I mentioned an additive, that, yeah, we never want lead, but it's less of a critical situation given how we treat the water.
And one thing that we're offering through this process to residents that have a known lead service is we're offering to provide a test for them and review any previous tests that we may have done at their residents to let them know what the levels are in their water.
Yeah. And no, I wasn't minimizing. I was very careful not to minimize it, but I just said it's not a critical emergency that you know, do I need to be starting to buy bottled water? Well, you do what you have to do, but I don't think it's that critical. It's something that we're putting time and money and effort into, but it's not an emergency. Don't talk about Flint, Michigan, you know. So that's I just wanted to share that.
Thank you guys very much. Moving on to item number 9. Hey, Sean, you're up. 2025 construction project update, please.
I'll do my best to provide you a brief update on our street utility construction project along with resurfacing and some other smaller projects. Reconstruct projects. Park Drive utilities have been installed. Roadway has been excavated and base has been placed. Street is waiting for concrete curb and gutter and driveway work. Crescent, much of the same. Underground utility work has been completed. Roadway has been excavated and base has been placed, waiting for curb and gutter and driveway work. St. Francis Drive from Lang Lane to Crescent. Utilities have been installed. Currently, the contractor is working between Crescent and Webster. They're installing a water main. At the completion of the water main, they will install renewed laterals and then install storm sewer. With the completion of the utilities on St. Francis, they'll begin to construct the roadway. Green Avenue, currently we have the utilities installed from East River Drive to not Regina, but just short of Regina. Right now we're working to install storm sewer between Regina and Greenwald. They will be starting the utility work on Regina in the coming days. We've discussed with the contractor our concern with the current schedule. We're hoping that they'll add a second crew to start the utility work between Greenwald and Libel. They have reassured us that the work will be done this year with the completion of the utility work. Then the street construction will get started. Regina, provided an update on that utility work to start end of this week, early next week. As you've probably noticed at Webster and Green Avenue at the intersection, we started the head pedestrian improvement work there. We're going to be improving the curb ramps along with remarking the crosswalk and installation of rapid flashing beacons. We anticipate the work at the intersection being completed by the end of next week. Every year we typically have a sanitary sewer lining project reconstruct here. All of that work has been completed. Street resurfacing project. Taking a look at that today. Our resurfacing projects. The spot repair to curb and gutter has been made. We're waiting right now for the roadways to be milled. The paving will get started. Landscape restoration, planter will be completed afterwards. East River Drive water main relay, that work has since been completed. We had replaced the water main from Riviera Route to Broadview Drive. And then one other project, the storm outfall project, that work has been completed. Any questions?
Just one in terms of the work on green, if it's going to be delayed, in the original target's mid-October, what expectation should we have that it's done by, let's say, Halloween? Is that where the second crew is going to happen? Is there any issue with making sure that it's done by Halloween?
We're hopeful that the work will be done, will be completed by end of October. We're hoping that they add another crew. Yes, the schedule it will be extended into October. I'm hopeful that the project doesn't extend it into November because all bets are off with the weather. End of October, we should be wrapping the project up. The landscape restoration, for the most part, the street will be open for Halloween.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Sean? Thank you for the update. Moving on to item number 10, any future agenda items? No? Then moving on to item 11, Trustee Sampson, since we're not going into close, would you like to make a motion to adjourn?
Under the auspices of what I feel like right now, I'm going to move to adjourn.
May I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Gunner. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you and good night.